This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
He brought back!
Blood is everything you need. Only in blood do we find the truth. And I will find it.
On the blue moon I saw you. So soon you'll take me.
There is a corruption passing through this world.
I wish to know everything that occurred in the time you spent with him.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. With me today, good grief. With me today,
Dracula really was beguiling.
That's the thing. That's the thing. I did actually feel that way for a second. So I have Sharmila Ganesan,
thank you,
as well as Arvind Yuvaraj.
Hello, hello.
And we are talking about the one, the only Dracula, and his latest iteration, incarnation on our screens. Because, of course, Count Dracula has been, or Dracula the book and Count Dracula the character have been adapted so very many times. Mm-hmm. But the most recent one, I think, would be this one from the BBC.
Yes, yeah, of course. And it's notable, I think, because it was done by the people behind Sherlock, so Mark Gatiss and Stephen Moffat. And because they have this sort of prestige and that...
The clout
to bring an adaptation, because, you know, if you could do Sherlock and do it so well, everyone was really quite excited to see what they would, well, everyone, I mean me, all the other Dracula fans I know, were very excited to see what they would bring to this. And I'm still trying to work it out.
Yeah. Also, it's very close to Bram Stoker's original Dracula. Like, he's credited as one of the writers on the first two episodes, I think. And they follow, like, the template of what he set out instead of, you know, going the route of what most people have done, which is, like, take Dracula and try to, like, twist him and turn him and tell you different stories. Dracula Untold was one of it that didn't work. And, you know, just like, tell you stories that you don't want to know. Instead of doing that, they went back to the book and try to adapt it into, for the most part, the most faithful adaptation that they could come up with.
Yeah, I think that's a fair description. So I think a couple of things worth knowing about this is that, yeah, so Mark Gatiss, Stephen Moffat, BBC, which means that in typical Gatiss Moffat style, they've gone with feature length episodes. Mm-hmm. So the whole series is
three episodes,
each of which is an hour and a half. So it's a time investment in that sense. Mm-hmm. You should know that going in. You know, this is not like a casual half hour and then you can up and do the dishes, come back kind of thing. And also, yes, absolutely. The first episode for sure is very much in line with the Bram Stoker novel. The second one starts to fray and
take
play with certain things.
And the third one is completely sort of its own thing.
Yes. Yeah. And in discussions that we've had, each of us, I think, had a bit of a different experience with each of those three episodes. Because honestly, I bring up the length of them because it's important to know. And it's also important to know at what point you should not give up. You shouldn't give up if it's not working tonally for you, because it does shift.
Mm. Well, one thing I think that pays to know going in, and I didn't know this, I realized it when I started watching the second episode, is to kind of treat each episode as its own thing, meaning it's going to feel different in the second and the third. It's going to be a change of scene. It's going to be a change almost of feel. Even the way the episodes look and are shot are different. So that's not very Sherlock, because Sherlock has a consistency in of tone and look that carries through the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
This one, it could well be three movies that were just sequels.
So I think the first episode, why I like all three episodes is because the first one is mainly about the characters around Dracula. So that one felt the most Bram Stoker, in the sense that he's like this demonic figure in the background, like this shadow that's sort of coming to the town. So they sort of introduce you to Sister Agatha, they introduce you to Jonathan Harker, and it's more a Jonathan Harker story than mm-hmm. it is a Dracula story. The second one is purely Dracula, then it's all about him and what motivates him and what pushes him forward and what he's up to. The third, we can't get into that much yes. because we can't say much without spoiling anything.
Yeah.
But that's what I love the tonal shifts between the first and the second, how the first is like a pure adaptation and the second is them taking things into their own hands, the showrunners, I mean. And then the third is just experimentation. I love the show because I've always been fascinated with everything Dracula, and also because it's really hard to do a Dracula story. A lot of people think it's easy when it's not, because a lot of people focus on the vampire and the mythology, the violence, the gore and stuff. What it is, it's this show shows you like the duality between him as like a gentlemanly sort of human mm-hmm. versus him as like a ravenous beast. Mm. And I love how they blur those lines. I love how Claes Bang also plays it perfectly. He's like seductive, but he's also like constantly dangerous, and you're constantly uneasy, just like watching him do what he does.
I think Claes Bang had a very difficult job. He, of course, plays Dracula, mm-hmm. and it's not an easy task because it's someone who has been on screen many times before. I think a lot of us, I think a lot of us have the classic image of a Bela Lugosi of, that style. There is an archetypal Dracula. Mm-hmm. And what Claes Bang does is he plays into that. He kind of plucks elements of it that work for him. And he's also got his own thing. You mm-hmm. know, he's very suave. He's also incredibly animalistic. And mm-hmm. I enjoy both. I think that what works about this show and the reason why they could justify doing it in a time where, like, if you haven't read the book, you probably know the book anyway. You know what's going to happen. And you know already what his weaknesses are. You get the stake. You know, you know all that stuff.
Yeah.
The reason why they could do it is because what this is actually an examination, a psychological examination of Dracula, as well as a scientific examination of Dracula. Mm-hmm. So it's both, what is this monster? You know, how does he work? And it's also, who is this person who was once a warlord and what makes him tick? And mm-hmm. I think the combination of those two things, from that, you get the story.
So key to that, and really for me, the reason what kept me going through the first episode, which I think we will come back to later, is that counterpoint to him, Agatha, who you mentioned earlier, the nun who we're introduced to almost in the very first scene itself. And she's kind of like our entry point into what happens to Jonathan Harker, about what he's been through in the in Dracula's castle. She's played by Dolly Wells, and she's just amazing.
She's like, still the show.
Oh, she's so good. And you know, you kind of have to be that good to be able to play off of Claes Bang's Dracula, because he's sort of a big character.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'm not going to take you seriously. I'm the everyday, like, stoic, but thoroughly likable. I thought she was great. Like, if that character wasn't there, I mm-hmm. feel like Dracula wouldn't have worked nearly as well.
And they also have to have the same sort of energy, like, yes. both of them, like, as actors and as characters, they both have to be on like that same level, because normally the way they write Dracula is he's overpowered, like he's he's so strong,
yeah, that Superman
conundrum. And or they could have done Sister Agatha to be sort of overpowering Dracula, mm-hmm. but the fact that they wrote them both on like the same plane and they both like played off each other, they sort of ping-ponged off each other's energy, was like really nice to watch. And they just kept you glued, like you couldn't take your eyes off them whenever they were on screen.
It's a mutual respect thing too.
I think it's
the fact that they mutually respected one another, and so you could then respect the characters, because you know that neither one is just there to be suckered, you know, neither mm-hmm. one is just there to be fooled. So we're talking today about Dracula, which is a 3-episode mini-series? Would you call it a mini-series?
Like a feature-length mini-series?
I suppose, yeah. That's been put out by the BBC. That's available to watch here as well, of course. And we would like to hear from you. Have you watched it? Did you enjoy it? Did you like the way that they kind of played around with the story and the idea of Dracula? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 to let us know. You can tweet us at BFM Radio and write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
He is a monster. He is the devil himself.
I could be wrong, but I think you are having a nightmare. I'm going to destroy everything you love.
There's one thing that he fears. We must discover it.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Arvin and Sharmila. Today, we're talking about the latest adaptation of Dracula, whom you just heard actually speaking in a really wonderful voice, actually, because we've been watching him. And it's kind of interesting to hear Claes Bang.
It's
just
a good voice, isn't it? A great Dracula voice.
Dracula needs a good voice. Yeah.
You need someone like that, with a voice like that and that delivery, to say, I'm going to destroy everything you love. And for you to go like, oh, that's a good voice. Yeah. That's a nice way to say it. Because anyone else, anyone else would sound like a jerk saying something that bad.
So I have to say, I listened to that and I smiled to myself like I was listening to a loved one. But that's exactly what you need, right? Because Dracula, you can play him one of a few ways. Either he's just the out and out, we talked about this earlier, like absolute villain. Or you have to be able to sympathize with him a little bit. And this show, because you spend so much time in his company, it needs to be the latter, because otherwise I think it just doesn't work. Speaking of not working, so I think we have to get into this. So both Sharmila and I didn't enjoy
first half of the first episode. So again, they're feature-length episodes. So it's precisely what you just said, right? Like, Claes Bang is amazing as Dracula. The problem is we spend the first half of the episode that introduces us to this entire world not really getting him. We don't get that voice. We don't get the Dracula
accent.
Yeah, you have an aged sort of version of this character. I don't want to give too much away. The guy who plays Jonathan Harker is really good. John Heffernan, yeah. However, it just seems to take so long to get to where it's going. And there's a sense of, I don't know, there's not finding its feet. It seemed a little too campy initially. The Transylvania accent was a little too much. And I was just like, where's the show going? And I almost wanted to give up. And
same.
Lots of people have told me that they gave up.
Because I was not in this to watch another version of the novel. So I think we differ in that, Ivan, you and I, because I've read the novel. I love the novel. I've seen also a fair amount of adaptations of it. Mostly bad, you know, in all honesty, they haven't been that great. And I think because of the badness of those previous adaptations, you know, I'm thinking here of like Keanu Reeves and, and just,
you didn't love his British accent?
I mean,
that was British?
I think he thought it was.
So having seen all that, I wasn't necessarily in this to watch another version of that. I'm like, all right, the castle, the bats, like, all right, I get it. And so I didn't really want to be there. I wanted to watch the show we eventually got, which was nice. But that's why I say you have to kind of know at what point you need to keep pushing. So once you tire of the Transylvanian, you just keep going for about 10 minutes past that, and then you're good. but the first bit is hard.
Yeah.
He sounded like Borat.
Yeah.
A lot of him sounded like Borat. And the first time we see him, I was like, okay, if he's going to sound like this throughout, I might give up. I might not be able to watch this show or take it seriously. Without spoiling anything, it does get better, and they do explain it. I loved it. I loved it simply because they put a lot of time into the set pieces, and you get to see his castle. And his castle looks like a maze. Most times when you see Dracula's castle, it's one hall and like a bedroom. And I'm like, he has to have a castle that's bigger than this. This one makes you you, it looks like a labyrinth.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And they're like twists and turns. It's dark. It has that gothic vibe and to
things
it.
Things running around in the corner. Oh my God, terrifying. Like, yeah. Like, there were genuinely terrifying moments.
The first episode is particularly so, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even when they sort of split between times, so they go to like flashbacks and flash forwards and all. When they're showing you Sister Agatha, that story is nice. And when you get to know her, that's interesting. When you get to know what happens to Jonathan Harker, that gets you into the story. And by the time you're done with all of that, then you get the reveal of, you know, Claes Bang as Dracula in his prime. So yeah, I mean, the first 20 minutes was a bit iffy for me, but the architecture, the gothic vibe, the acting, the characters really got me like glued onto the series.
So the other thing that I wanted to talk about was the showrunner thing, which is to say that very often when you watch shows with showrunners who have successful series under their belt, and here I'm thinking of course, Sherlock, right? Mm-hmm. Which is the thing that we probably know Mark Gatiss and Stephen Moffat best for, aside from Doctor Who and the rest of that. But in terms of this particular pairing of showrunner, it would probably be Sherlock. And it's fair to say that Sherlock was also a deeply uneven series. Mm-hmm. So this shares, I think, some of that, where there are attempts to play with the source material to update, subvert, kind of switch things around. And you also have a deeply charismatic male lead in the central performance. And there are some things that they do that felt a little bit predictable for me. And I was okay with it because I like what they do. Mm-hmm. But I think that if you go into this and you're expecting a sort of even series, that's not what this is. I think we've made it clear, it shifts wildly. Mm-hmm. And that is a showrunner thing. That's how they do these shows.
So I do think, though, that then that's why the second episode is really, for me, the best among the three. I really like the third as well, but the third also has parts in it that feel a little uneven. We also can't talk too much about the third because spoilers. However, the second, it has that the simplicity and the elegance of that classic movie trope, mm-hmm. of setting an entire story in one space, whether it's a house or a room.
It's a bottle episode. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, in this case, it's a ship. And so you have vampire on a ship with a bunch of passengers, right? So it's a no-brainer where that's kind of going to go.
The claustrophobia alone is like, yeah, enough.
However, the way they play that and the way they juxtapose Agatha's character against Dracula and all the passengers in the ship who you've never met before, but you care about them. Like, some of them get just minutes of screen time, and yet you really do care about them. That, for me, is like the strength of Gatiss and Moffat, being able to introduce you in such a short amount of time to so many new characters, and you actually care.
I didn't know if the showrunners would be able to do horror, because we know they can do Sherlock. We know that they can do like smart, intelligent storytelling, but I didn't know how well they could do horror. I think by the second episode, you know that they have a grasp on like horror and gore without it being there for the sake of shock value, which is another thing that I love about the series. They don't put blood or violence into the show for the sake of just being, you know, like shocking. Like, oh, look at the amount of blood that we can have
there
on screen.
There is a lot of blood. That needs to be said. It is a highly squeamish sort of... There are scenes where I felt nauseated.
I don't think we use the term animalistic to describe Dracula lightly.
Yeah.
Because
he's not the elegant, ooh, yes, blood, two drops, no.
Let me sip gently from your neck.
There is not blood everywhere. Yeah.
It's like watching something on National Geographic.
Yeah. Oh, God.
No, but that's the thing, right? To that point about blood, I think the preciousness of blood, and again, we can't get into the whole... the show's mythology that it's built around why blood matters. But the fact that blood does matter, I think, is shown quite well. You know, it's not wasted. When there is blood on screen, it's there for a reason. It's there to alert you to a murder. It's there to alert you to the fact that something is wrong. They use flies in the same way because that's also a thing that runs through the show, right? This idea that, oh, you know, don't hurt the flies. Flies follow flesh. That's a normal thing to say. And so there are certain threads that run through, and I don't think that they are wasted. I don't think the violence and gore and grossness is wasted. I think that they are there with good reason.
I think that's like perfect because nothing's wasted. There's no fluff in this show. There are no, like, even though each episode's about an hour and a half long, it never feels long enough because I would spend gladly spend like 2.5 hours in each episode just to know more about what's going on. It feels like a 45-minute show with a way longer runtime, which goes back to the writing and the way they've sort of told these characters and stuff. The other thing I love about this is how tactile it feels. Mm-hmm. Like, everything feels real. You know that it's built. Nothing is CGI. It's very easy for TV shows to go the CGI route because it's just cheaper to do. Without getting into details, there's a scene where he morphs from something into something else. And there's a featurette on YouTube that you can check out where they show you how it's done. And everything is practical effects. Like, everything is down to the fur is real and on set. So
yeah, and that was one of the scenes that made me nearly want to throw up.
It gives you like nausea and stuff.
Great scene.
Amazing scene. But that's another thing. It's the tangible, tactile feel of the show.
So let us know. Are you planning to watch Dracula? Have you watched Dracula? Are you tired of Dracula stories? WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 if you would like to write us a missive, a novel. Then that email is movies@bfm.my. Of course, you can also tweet us at BFM Radio. But conversely, if what you want to do is find out what we have coming up, to see just, you know, little bits and bobs that we'll be putting up, then you can follow us at BFM Popcorn. We are there on both Twitter and Instagram. You've been listening to Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.